Wednesday night, or Le Gimel, or Le Dalet Iyar, and we're learning now Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. But before we, so we're learning about Heter Iska. And before you learn about Heter Iska, you have to learn about Iska. So we learned about Iska. Now, I was thinking about Iska. I'm not sure, I don't want to go into the Gemara, how literally to take the Gemara, and how the Gemara, your average business arrangement in the time of the Gemara was given a name, a label, called Iska. And the way it usually worked is that there was an investing partner and a managing partner. Obviously, you can make any sort of business deal you want, but the word Iska in the Gemara, in the Parakeh Zeh Neshech, and apparently this was a standard business arrangement. It was an investing partner and a managing partner, and they shared the profit and the losses. And again, it gets complicated because when you try to make any other type of deal. Okay, now the Gemara says, and I was thinking about this, it's really nothing to do with the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, but I was thinking about the Gemara. The Gemara says that the methodology, I'm not sure, the method in which they share in the profits and the losses, like the method is that we view Miska in Iska, I invested $1,000, and he manages the store, and he didn't put in any money. So the Gemara says we view my thousand, and we share in the profits, we share in the losses. That was your average Iska. So the Gemara says that the umdana call it, like the understanding of an Iska, Matt, present. If you don't understand something, you'll ask me what it means. But I scribbled up all over. It's not as bad as it looks. Just one mistake, actually. I think a mistake. See what it says? Okay, you. The Iska, so like, Mara says the Iska works that it's half. If you would have asked me what an Iska is, why it's fair, like what was the idea, I would have said I invested $1,000 and I'm staying home to sleep and you're working and I'm going to consider your work as your $1,000, and then we're each contributing $1,000. The Gemara does not say that, and I wonder if that would change things. The Gemara says the underlying understanding of an Iska is that the money, you know, it's half my money and half yours. The money is what's earning money. We don't look at your work as earning money or losing money. The money is either lost or it earns more money. So we look at the money as half mine and half yours. So that's how it works. If it's half mine and half yours, so when it generates another $1,000 in profits, so my 500 earned 500, and that's mine, and your 500 earned your 500. The reason it's fair is because how'd you get your money? I lent it to you. That's why the Gemara says, Hai Iska, and this is the granddaddy of Hai Iska, Palga Milve u Palga Picado. Again, an Iska is an arrangement where there's an investing partner and a managing partner. They share in the profit, they share in the loss. The Gemara says that the underlying umdana of the business deal is that half of the money is mine and half is yours. Half is yours and you have to repay it to me. It's a loan. Palga Milve, Palga Picado. That's an Iska. The Gemara says every Iska, and a Heter Iska, really, just to jump ahead a little, a Heter Iska just turns every loan into an Iska. And we work it out that I'm guaranteed a profit. That's the shtick of a Heter Iska. But a Heter Iska, the words mean that I'm not lending you money. It's not a pure loan. It's a Iska, meaning I'm lending you half the money I'm lending you, and the other half is a picadon, and that's my money, and there's my money, and there's your money. And, okay, but before you could even start, the Gemara raises an issue. We're not going to get too far tonight. The Gemara raises the issue that the managing partner is working for the investing partner for the half the money. In other words, he's working for himself, but he's also working for the other guy, and he's not getting paid. And that's a ribbis issue, because the presumption and assumption is that he's working because he was lent money. So yeah, I'm willing to work for you because you lent me money. So that's a ribbis issue. So the Gemara says you have to pay. But the way the halacha ends up saying is you can make a token payment. right? The guy's working and you give him a dollar. And now the issue was raised by Eitan that doesn't make sense. We know in Hilchos Ribbis, when we say if a guy lends you money, you can't give him cheaper rent, or you can't do him any favors because that's Ribbis. So here, if you're saying it's a problem if he works for me, because he's working for me because I lent him money, Lechora, where did it come from that the halacha says that you can give him a token payment of a dollar? Lechora, then you still have the Ribbis problem, because I'm not giving him really what his wages are worth. So he asks the question. I found it in Rav Bloy, the Rav of my neighborhood in Sanhedria. He wrote the whole Chayshim Mishpah thing, Piskei Chayshim, and he wrote a Sefer on Mikvos, and he wrote a Sefer on Erevin. He's prolific. He also wrote probably what today is the handbook on Hilchos Ribbis called Bris Yehuda. This is what Art's called, basically translated into English, Reisman, the Laws of Ribbis, is basically a translation of Bris Yehuda. But he has copious footnotes, and Artsko did not translate the footnotes. And now, I'll read you what he says with this issue. Amru Chazal, Hai Iska Pal Gamil V'Pal G'Pikodon, and he explains that. V'lachain Tzorech Bal Hamols, the money guy, has to pay the worker Schar Tircha, because he's working for him, or else it's a Shaila Bribis. Now he has a very long a footnote. I'll read you the footnote and then we'll just go by it. Ilav ochi havi ribis. Shemesasek b'chelek ha-pikodom b'schar shehilva loy chelek ha-milve. Oh, no, okay, I see. So, in Perek Lamed Vav, okay. Okay. Halacha zu mubosses of the Rambam b'Torah pisugis haGemara. Now the Gemara in the Mishnah says, okay, this is the development of. In the Mishnah it says, "Sarech sheyitim loyscharoi kapoya." You have to pay him like a worker. With the Gemara ends up saying the poil batel kaitzitz leidinor. It's enough to give him a dollar. Baba gab the Mishnah mashma shetzorach l'shalit tzchoro hamamoshi avur tircho ba'esek mekabel komatzina b'gemara drachem acherim b'tashlam tzchoro avol b'she'eno b'yachas l'tirchoso va'af b'tzchoro kapoyel ekiv chazal, give him like a poyel botel, you don't give him total wage. Va'al ken tzorach loyma k'ma shikosel harishoinim d'chiv v'she'eno el avak ribis. It's only Ribbis Drabona, because it's not a real loan. Hekilu b'zeh. V'chol shederech b'nei odom l'sasek b'kach muter. In logic, if you're, like, I don't know what he means exactly, chachamu m'mekel, like in Drabona. But I think the idea is, like I said, that really logically, if you're the investing partner, like I don't consider myself I'm working for you because you lent me money. Like it's not a real loan. Like I'm working for you because that's what I'm putting into the kitty. You put in your money, I'm putting in my work. So it's really just a token payment. I'm not even sure why, you have to learn the sugya, why Chazal said, Hai Iska, Palgamilva. I really would have said, I was thinking about it today, I would have said, he put in $1,000 of cash, and I'm putting in like $1,000 of work. And there's really $2,000 in the kitty.
The reason is because they're splitting the losses also. So if they lose, you can't say, well, I lost my work. So now you lose your money. They have to share the money. Loss.
Okay, very good, Yishkayach. But like people are moichel to work. Like, you gave money, I'm giving work. Mm-hmm. That's why you only need Ubekesef Mishnah, Hebib Sham Tamidi Harashba. Why did Chazal allow a token payment? Kivan the Shokul Minei Ubei, and maybe it'll be a lot of profit. So Chachamim weren't makbid b'dover b'shari, because he's sort of getting a free ride. Ela shetam ze, blah blah blah. Umedivri apoyskim near the lav davka. Tulo goes to Rabbanan. The bottom line, he says, there's a lot of reasons given. Apparently, he says the bottom line is kol sheinu masasek b'chelik apikadim b'chinam. Tulo goes to be Rabbanan. it's not a milve gemura, some say, because it's the toivus hamalve, because he's not ready to work and manage a business. So he's really gaining a lot. He's not just using you, he's gaining. Anyway, he says everybody has different pshatim, a lot of doichkim, and the bottom line is it's the rabbanon, and that's what they allow. But he talks about it, so I'm happy about that. It was a very good question. I didn't find it anywhere in any other Sefer Hilchos Ribos, other than in his footnotes. So we're in Samach Vav, and now we're up to Siv Beis. Siv Beis is already inching towards Heter Iska. Yecholim Lahasnos, there's nothing wrong with stipulating. He's not talking about Heter Iska yet. He's not talking about a loan. He's talking about a real Iska, where they're not trying to cover up and make a legal loophole. He's talking about Taka and Iska. They can stipulate Shalo Yehei. Now, all the cheshbainus of the business, the investing partner is trusting the managing partner, really. So he goes to him after 6 months and says, okay, let me have my share of the profits. The guy says, profits? There were losses. So normally he would have to make a shvuah, right? So he says, they can make a condition, they can stipulate before, as part of the business arrangement, Shalo Yehei HaMakabel Nemon Lomar Shehitzed Menakeren Ki Im Al Pi Edim Ksherim. You know, you could really stipulate to make it just about impossible to claim that there was a loss. Which means, of course, that even if he doesn't have to give him profit, but he has to give him back his full Keren, right? He has to give him back his half, and he has to repay his loans. He has to give him back $1,000. So he comes and says, there were losses. There's only $500 left of the original $1,000. He's going to have to shell out $500. He has to give him back, because he has to give him back $500, and then he has to repay back the loan. So the guy ends up with $1,000 again, even if he doesn't get profit. But he's not going to have. You can stipulate in a way that you for sure won't suffer a loss, because you could stipulate. I mean, you're just making it hard. It's still possible. You stipulate that you need two witnesses, two Adam Ksherim, to say that there was losses. How do they know? I don't know. They follow the financial papers. They follow the. So the al harevach lo yehi neman kiyim b'shvua, and to say how much profit there was, meaning maybe there was more profit, so he has to take a shvua to prove that there's no problem with this. Again, that you could, because you're entering a business arrangement with someone, so when you're entering one of the biggest holders of business, that you can make any stipulation you want beforehand. The dinei Torah are always afterwards. Beforehand, the more you speak out, the better off you are, because you try to cover every eventuality. So you say, listen, I'm giving $1,000, you're doing the work. If you claim there are losses, you're not going to be Naaman. Only if you bring two kosher witnesses to say that there were losses. I don't even know what it means nowadays. I guess, you know, you send in someone to examine the books. Maybe that's not called two Edim Ksherim, that's called one aid. Maybe you have to send in two accountants who understand bookkeeping, and they examine the books, and they say, and they know the market. And they say, you know, this guy was selling igloos in the summer, and it's hard to say that there were the ices that kids eat. Not the right. So, what do you mean there were losses? Why were there losses? It doesn't make any sense. What happened? So you need to wait him chairman. And if he says there was a 6% profit, so he has to swear that there wasn't a 7% profit. He's inching his way towards Heter Iska. You can say whatever you want. That's the point.
You can make up whatever you want,
as long as you do it before. Okay? Now he's going to say in Siv Gimel, they could also make up, you know what, I don't want to make a shvua. I'm not going to have aid in this. I'm just going to, you're going to drop all of your stipulations if I give you a 5% return. That's, but you know, again, this is, we're making a business deal, except you're telling me I'm not, and I'm giving you the money. You want the money. This is how you think you could open a business and really make a lot of money. And I have money, and you don't have capital. I have capital, so we're going to make this business arrangement. But I don't want to lose my money. I don't really trust you. So I say, you're not going to be Naaman to say that there was a loss only if this, and you're not going to be nemet to say how much profit there is only if that. Then you say, okay, but let's say I guarantee you 6% a year return on your money. So I say, okay, the banks are giving now 0.00001% interest, and the bond market isn't doing that great, and I'm not the type of guy that likes stocks, and he's guaranteeing me a 6% return. That's a pretty good deal. I'll take it. So he's saying you're going to drop your demand for a shvua, and you're going to drop your demand for Edom, and realize, so it means that even if there's a loss, I have to give you 6%, because I'm not believed to say there was a loss. But you're going to accept 6%, and you're not going to make me be nishba that maybe it was a 12% profit. So I think I could make the business into a real money maker. You're willing to accept 6% and drop your demand for a shvua. You're stipulating that I'm not neman to say there was a loss. Perfectly valid. As long as they make up beforehand, you're not neman to say there was a loss, except the kach for kach. You're not neman to say how much profit it was, except with a shvua. But in lieu of everything, I'll drop all demands, and I'll just... And you guarantee me a 6% return.
If the actual profit's over 6%, though, is he supposed to owe him that?
Was no, that's what we made up. You will accept a 6% return, even if there was a 13th, uh-huh. Even if there was a third. Well, no, even if there was a 7% profit, you can keep all the money. Just give me a 6% return on my money. But that you have to give me now, even if there's a loss. Maybe it means even. Okay, he could still bring 2A then maybe. To say there was a loss, I'm really dropping my demand for a shvua in return for a guaranteed 6%. So I'm dropping my because if there's 4, if you're nishba, or if there was a 4% profit, so that's it. Or if you're nishba, there wasn't more than 6%, or more than 5%. So I say, give me 6%, and I'll drop all demands for birurim. So that's perfectly valid.
Why isn't that
ribbis? No ribbis yet. So